Blog Talk Radio. Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In Depth Nation is here. The Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away,
good doctor. The theme seems so apropos. Summer Madness, greatest piece of musical work produced by Kool and the Gang, and one of the finest groups by anybody in the music industry. Happy birthday, Gary Bird. Birthday is today or tomorrow. Happy birthday, Phil Anthony. And yesterday, the birthday of Paula, the daughter of our number one listener of Ultimate, Donya Rosie, Eddie Milton. And they're in part of our gallery. It's a Sunday, and the weather has been spring-like. And baseball is springing upon us. Summer Madness or apropos as weather looked like it was close to summer. And then a few weeks ago, it looked like it was so far away. And then I was in the world of summer when I was broadcasting live from Fortaleza, Brazil. It's a Sunday. We'll support short talk, a little football, a little baseball, a little basketball. It's happy birthday to our beloved friends, Stevie Wonder. Joined Gary Bird on his show tonight, his 50th. Anniversary of being on broadcast radio. Gary Bird started up in Buffalo, I believe, at age 15. M-Hotep, Gary Bird, one of the pioneers and voices of radio here in America. Him, Hal Jackson, what I call the Jackie Robinson of African American radio. Larry Hardesty, sports wise, the Joe Louis, the longevity and the consistency. Art Russ Jr., probably the Muhammad Ali, as he crossed over to the mainstream white America, had the number one radio show on ABC Radio. Number one. Not number one sports. That he had. Number one radio show. Wow. Art Russ Jr., Hal Jackson, Larry Hardesty, M-Hotep, Gary Bird, Chloe Anthony, female, foremost female, Lady G, got some columnists in the world. Doing stand-up. For always found a spot for me in her columns. I'll be down at the anyway, it's fortunate up on a Sunday. Going to talk to the football, some baseball. Back Cavaliers looking good, beating up on the Clippers. Well, you know, they've become so suspect. A team that you look up could win. The Golden State have lost, and they're back on the beat again. RG3 is reset. You know what? Let's get this straight first. Let's do the first thing first. And of course, it's John Coltrane leading us in prayer. Covered by Miles Dewey Davis. We always said it, don't we? Miles Dewey Davis Jr. So, let's take a moment. We owe him all our life. Take your hats off. Close your eyes. Bow your head. Stop doing what you're doing for a minute or two. As we pay tribute to you know who. The Lord, we thank you for another day. And more importantly, have your will, have your way. We thank you, Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted. Clothes on our back, shoes on our feet, food on our teeth. Waking up as my beloved mother said, clothed in our right mind. And on this side of the dirt, our side says, we thank you, Lord, for another day, and we actually reach out with special blessings on the birthday people. Paula, Ella Paula, Felicia Rosario, Gary Bird, Phil Anthony, two pioneers. Not only in African-American history, but in American history. And when you realize that it's African-American history that begat all other histories, then that's the history. Bless all our panel here. And more importantly, the Lord, let your way be out. So we just pray. Asking that you give us so much we want, what we need, and we need the every hour. Jesus and the Lord. Amen.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media,
and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports in Depth.
And as we moved out of Black History Month, Light Muscles, is it Black History in 1 month? It's all year. It's all world. Africa, two golden ages before Europe had its first greatest general of all time, Hannibal. First athlete in any sport, to be African American. Miles Davis in the background, considered maybe this first, well, unquestionably, one of the three greatest trumpet players of all time. Trying to figure who else outside of him and Louis Armstrong. In the background, Kind of Blue. And we're never kind of blue when we are here with you. Happy birthday to everybody. Let's get that out of the way, too, apropos. Yeah, Stevie, Gary Bird did his 50th anniversary being on radio, and he thought he was going to call in. As you know, Stevie and Gary are very close. And Stevie came in person, and Gary wrote some songs for him. For him and Hal Jackson, that's also my mentor. Stevie, want to take the time out to say happy birthday to everybody that has a birthday today, previously in this month, but we specifically are saying happy birthday to Joe Anthony, female, foremost female gospel columnist in the world, definitely African-American wise. Lovely Prowler. And for the late, excuse me, Walter Redonia had a birthday yesterday. And to Gary Bird, who has one yesterday or today. I got to get the right date. Gary has a birthday coming up. One happy birthday, too. We got some birthdays coming up down the line. And March, after March. You know, but this is to the birthday people. And then it's to Larry. Happy birthday to you. The song was originally, is about into the late great Hal Jackson and Jackie Robinson. American Radio was the man to implement the movement to get King's birthday recognized. And for a long time, every state in the country didn't. Arizona, I believe, was one of them that didn't recognize him. And today, they played that as he said happy birthday to his dear friend, Gary Bird. He's known each other for 50 years. Gary Bird started on radio at 15 years old. Him, the chief rocker, Frankie Crockett, instrumental. How in 90 seconds, well, can't believe I must hit the wrong space time on the show here. Okay. Oh, my goodness, gang. I'm sorry. Whoa. Okay. Well, listen, Eddie, we've got you coming in. Let's talk a little boxing, Eddie.
I'm here.
So, Eddie, let's talk a little boxing. You've got some fights coming up. What do you think about this Spence and Algeri fight?
You know what? I don't think much of it.
Well, I mean, you know, it'll be a good little test for Spence. It'll be a good little test for him. You know, Algeri's a tough guy, a seasoned pro, and we'll see just how good the kid is. Harold, what do you think?
About the fight?
Yeah, Spence and Algeri, huh?
Okay, I mean, you know. I guess it's just two guys fighting. I mean, I done gotten to the point, Mel, and I got to be very honest with you. There's nothing out there today. I mean, you know, you can stop boxing tomorrow. Nobody will miss it, okay?
You know, you have the same feeling that Lady A has, too. She's just done with boxing.
It's gotten to the point. I mean, I have I looked around, and I've been judging this for a while, but I done seen the greatest of all fighters in history, and I don't need. There's no more. There's never gonna be any more. Those days of greatness. I'm gonna say this. Those days of greatness of anything is gone. We ain't got greatness no more. There's no athlete, no nothing in any of these sports is going to be great anymore. Because everybody is just imitating the fraud now. I mean, if they're not on steroids, they're getting aluminum bats, they're taking the ball and putting more speed into the ball. I mean, it's gone. The greatness of what we're talking about, athletes, is gone. It's just completely gone.
In the words of Harold Weston, sad and touching. And you,
it is.
And I said that today's athletes may be big and strong. Now, I may have erred here. I think we've got about another 10 seconds. I can't believe I messed up on my time slot. Today's athletes are big and stronger, but they're no. And I talked the other day with Nassim Richardson, and he talked about Roy Jones Jr. And he said, Roy was a guy that was on talent. And once the talent evaporated, he had no fundamentals to fall back on. And how the rest they say is history.
What are you talking about?
Roy Jones. I mean, what you're saying. He really had no fundamentals and skills as he was living off talent. And when the talent
he had no chin either. I mean, that's the whole thing about it. He had no chin either. So basically, I mean, he waltzed his way into the championship by fighting bums, and then he got a little opportunity, won it, and that was it. I mean, but when he finally fought somebody that knew he can beat his butt, they went in there and knocked him out. I mean, so basically, he wasn't as great as you thought he was.
Yeah, and the words of mine, working somewhat perpetrating the fraud. Danny Stiles is with us. Danny, getting ready for season. How do you see them? Are they going back to the World Series?
They'll probably be there. They'll probably be there. When everything is said and done, they got a good team. They got seven pitchers that each one of them could be a starter, the number one starter in any team, any other team in the major league. So, and they got that kid also, that Cespedes kid, man. He's, 5'2" ball player.
Very well, yes. Yeah, it was amazing how he was the last guy that they wind up signing. I have to contemplate his intellect of not taking more money and going to the Nationals. I just didn't understand that move whatsoever. I don't see the Mets going back to the World Series. No question about it.
You know what, Doc? He told me at the press conference. I said, "How come you didn't sign with the Nationals?" And he said to me, "Listen, man, we faced the Nationals about 40 times. If I would have been playing with the Nationals, that probably would have been, with the pitching that the Mets have, that probably would have been 20 points off my batting average."
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to tell you, that's straight up bullshit, okay? That's straight up, excuse me, 20 points off his average. I mean, what are you telling me? You can hit or you can't hit? And the Mets pitcher staff ain't all that fantastic. Because if it was all that fantastic, they'd have won the World Series. Okay? And they'd have been, so let's, there's no Seaver there. There's no Gibson there. I mean, whatever reason he had, it's good. That's his reason. To tell me, you think the Mets pitcher staff is so good. How many times do you face the Mets during the course of the year? I mean, you must think you can't hit. I mean, who's over there? They didn't have a 20-game winner. I don't think anybody ERA was under 2. So, I mean, but no, his reasons, there's his reasons. We may be getting wind up cut here. I'm sure of that, but I've still got the muscles. You join us yet, muscles?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, muscles, real quick. You didn't come to the press. What do you think of this Spence Algieri fight?
Nothing.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something, Eddie and how I tell people saying this. You know what? I've been blessed by the grace of God, because all greater ones than great. I've seen the best of. If I don't never see another nothing again, I'm over here, Harold. Baseball, basketball, tiddlywinks, football. I see you right, Harold. The best that ever did it, we've seen do it. And
right.
You look at your fight today. You're turned sad. But what's sad and touching about it is that today's sports fan really thinks they're seeing the golden age or whatever. It's sad.
Right.
I mean, I understand some guys saying Jordan, and I understand that now because of what Oscar Robertson said at the 1997 All-Star Game. In today's society, nobody is aware of people of yesteryear. Car mechanics, baseball players, reporters. You know,
okay.
they have no sense of history. Okay, so I can understand people. I had a guy the other day. I said, who's better in your opinion? You know, is Kobe or Michael? He said, well, I think Michael, and I think Michael's the best ever. He said, because Michael went to the NBA Finals 6 times and won every time. And I'm saying, wait a minute, man, hold it. Bill Russell won the NBA championship his first 9 years in the NBA championship. The first 9 years, Bill Russell was in the NBA Finals, and he won it. His team won it 8 years in a row. It would have been 10 years in a row, but he got hurt his second year, so the St. Louis Hawks won it. If not, Bill Russell and the Boston Celtics would have won the NBA championship 10 years in a row. You know, it's amazing that guys talk about this stuff. Now I'm looking at this thing here, and Jumpstart Johnny was going to join us, but I guess he is still in the studio. And then what happened with my mishap here on the setup, he can't get in. But I'm just profounded, startled. I can't understand what's his big thing about signing Fitzpatrick from the Jets. The guy lost the biggest game of the year when he hit the 4 INTs in the last game of the season. They had a 3-game losing streak. He has a losing record, and they're acting like he's the second coming of Joe Namath. So RG3 is went to the Jet camp the other day. I know somebody has to pick him up sort of down the line, so that'll be interesting to see. Okay, we're talking about Jerry. We're talking about Spence. Smith will be a good young kid coming up. We're talking about Danny. Okay, you don't think the Nationals have a chance then?
No, I do. I have them. They'll probably be in the playoffs because, you know, Dusty's going to strain them out, and then they have the best baseball player in the National League, Bryce Harper. So they'll probably they'll do good this year, but I don't think they're going to reach, they're going to go far because their pitching can't hold up.
You know, they never should have got rid of Zimmerman, but they did get the guy from Do you see Barry Bonds now as the batting coach of the Marlins? Do you see that as the beginning of him finally getting to the Hall of Fame, Danny?
He'll probably get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame if he goes to Cleveland, but he's not getting to the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown.
It's just remarkable because, you know what, but there was 2 writers who said that they said the same thing. Let's cut the bullshit. You know, Barry should be in regardless. You know, and there's a tremendous talent when Barry Bonds went to San Francisco, he had won the MVP 3 times already. 3 times already won the MVP. And at that time, he had stolen more bases than only 2 other players in the history of the game. Okay. He had won his 5 gold gloves, and he had almost won the MVP 4 years in a row. Terry Pendleton beat him out, and he came in second. So he won the MVP 3 out of the 4 years, second 1 year, had more stolen bases than anybody else in the history of the game outside of Ricky Henderson and Ty Cobb, was the only guy that hit 20 home runs and steal 50 bases in 1 year. So falling to the Barry Bonds was a lot for the Hall of Fame then, but it reminds me somewhat of Mike Tyson. When you talk about Mike Tyson, it's remarkable to me, as Ryan Boykin says, that they never mentioned the 3 years that Mike got lost to jail. I mean, we always get the 3.5 years to Ali, but they forget about Mike's 3 years. But, I mean, for me, for all intents and purposes, I think this could be the roadway back to Barry. And, you know, Barry Bonds is a black ball out of baseball. Anyway, I'm just twisting myself here for that goodness time. I mean, Barry Bonds is black out of baseball. How could nobody want Barry Bonds? First of all, how did the Giants not sign him back? That was remarkable to me, as Marion Boykin says. And then nobody in baseball. Eddie Murray told me that the ballpark in Tampa Bay was tailor-made for Barry Bonds. And Tampa Bay took Barry. No question they'd have won the MVP. I mean, would have won the Super Bowl Series. And Bonds would hit 800 home runs. I think maybe this could be the stepping stone back, but you have to salute both Matt Lee and, more importantly, the owner of the Marlins, who said, hey, man, you know, we want Barry Bonds to be our batting coach, the oldest man to win a batting championship, the most home runs, history of baseball. 1 year, Barry Bonds walked over 200 times. Over 200 times on 101 intentional. When Barry Bonds got his 73rd intentional walk, that was more than Willie Mays, the greatest player ever, had in his last 10 years of baseball, and more than Hank Aaron in his last 6 years of baseball. So we'll see. It can't hurt. Sports in the Block Talk Radio.
Doc, listen.
nobody's denying that he's got the credentials, the numbers to be in the Hall of Fame. It's just that his attitude doesn't help because he's always denying it. If he would have just came out and said,
You don't say yes to what you didn't do. You don't say yes. Barry Bonds has never tested positive, okay? Has never tested positive. And, you know, you look what the government did, and you talk about the United States government, excuse me, fucking over somebody, man, how they did Joe Louis. But here's a guy that never tested positive, okay? They put his friend in jail. They harassed the guy's mother-in-law. They did a horror things, and this guy said no. I mean, so, you know, 2 and 2 is 4. It ain't 4.5. It ain't 3.5. And if Barry said he didn't do it, I'm damn well with Barry. He didn't do it. And nothing has proven that he did do it. There's nothing that's proven that Barry Bonds ever tested positive for steroids. Nothing.
It doesn't matter.
Pacquiao
never tested positive neither, but...
Stay with boxing. Stay with boxing. Now.
It doesn't matter. The guy never tested positive. He actually was hiding from something.
The point is, in America, you're innocent to proven guilty. But you know, that changed with O.J. Simpson.
That doesn't prove anything.
Well, it proves.
Dude,
I mean, the thing is, as of now, Barry Bonds has never tested positive. And here's the bottom line is, there's a great line by Samantha, you know, if everybody was doing it, then who was cheating? And I think baseball players did a bad rap on this.
They were all cheating.
Because, yeah, that's all I did. So nobody is. But I know it's the pitchers that really brought steroids into baseball. And, you know, steroids... You know, it works your body, but it doesn't give you talent. It doesn't make you hit. It doesn't make you run. I mean, it doesn't enhance your skills. But,
Let me tell you something. Steroids exist for a reason. All you gotta do is look at guys like Lance Armstrong, who won, 7 Tour de France's? Come on, man. And we know he wasn't natural. So, you know, we see what these bodybuilders look like compared with Arnold Schwarzenegger around. And Arnold Schwarzenegger was using steroids, too. I mean, you see how advanced what it's done to athletes. Yeah, you have to have talent. But you take talent plus some enhancement, it makes you into a super athlete, you know. So that's what we're seeing today.
I don't see where it has an advantage in baseball. I can see where endurance-wise can do it.
It helps you be more agile. It helps you with your batting average. You've seen how how home runs just went up the roof.
Baseball, you can hit or you can't hit. Is that simple? Like, and one thing I said in Mark McGwire's defense, you know, Mark McGwire hit 49 home runs as a rookie. That's a rookie record. That's before supposedly he used steroids. Now, Mark McGwire can hit the ball over any fence. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with the fence is 375. Mark can hit it over 385. If he took steroids, it's 395. What the heck? If you can't hit the ball over the fence, you can't hit the ball over the fence. That's the thing about baseball players. I mean, you can't hit it. You know, I used to laugh at Steinbrenner. He would say, okay, we lost 3 games in a row. We're going to have extra batting practice. The guy in batting practice throwing the ball so you can hit it. You know, he's not trying to throw you a slider inside. He's not trying to put you inside. Batting practice doesn't help you. If you can't hit, you can't hit. You're a 275 hitter. Sports at Block Talk Radio on the Trusted Guard Red Network. Football, basketball, football. I told you football-wise, there's some talk about RG3 getting a look. Jets did some house cleaning at the same time the Giants hired a lot of guys. JPP is back, and that's kind of a no-brainer because I don't think anybody else basically wanted him. So he's back with the Giants. We'll have to see how that works out. A strange thing happened out in Denver. The backup quarterback who was going to be the number one quarterback decided he wanted to go someplace else. He got more money, and the mindset was that he was smartened from the fact that they benched him and put Peyton in his place. So there is a vicious rumor, as Smith Simpson said, as rumor has it that maybe Peyton Manning will unretire. So we'll have to watch that down the line and see what happens. The Rangers lost today 5-3 to Pittsburgh, and the Cleveland Cavaliers looking very good in a big win over the Clippers, who seem to be a bunch of underachievers. Harold and Muscles and you, Eddie Cotton. Eddie,
yeah.
How good How good was Lennox Lewis? We were talking about the other day. I didn't see Lennox as being no really great fighter. How good, in your estimation, was Lennox Lewis, Eddie?
Well, I think he was somewhat overrated. But, you know, he ended his career with two losses. He got knocked out by Haseem Rahman, and he got knocked out by Oliver McCall. He avenged both of those losses with knockouts. You know, he's known for beating Tyson, and he came along at a time where there really wasn't that really rough, tough heavyweight division like it used to be in the old days. And if you remember, he had a very, very tough fight, his last fight with Klitschko's brother, with Vitaly. And Vitaly was winning the fight, but then he had some cuts over his eyes or something, and they ended up stopping the fight. So he was okay, but he's definitely not in my top 10.
Yeah, and you know what? He had a very tough fight with Ray Mercer. I remember that card at the Garden.
Yeah.
Him and Mercer, Holyfield, Chaz, Witherspoon, and that fight showed me that he could fight. But right, most of them save you for last. Harold, your thoughts on Lennox Lewis? I just don't see him being great. I see him being a good heavyweight. You definitely can't, in my estimation, other than the breadth of the great heavyweights. Harold, your thoughts?
I mean, he wouldn't be a top subject if we talked about heavyweights. I mean,
right. That's right, Harold.
we'll go on with Ali Frazier, George Foreman, you know, Rocky Marciano. We just talk about everybody, but he would never be in that conversation. You know, he would never be in that conversation.
And how? In other words, no. That special room you're talking about, they wouldn't let him go in the elevator, come up near the room, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he wouldn't be allowed, because when he come, they're gonna say, "Who are you?" I mean, that's the bottom line.
Well, y'all don't know. Okay, well, let's go to the Latin side of boxing. Muscles, Lennox Lewis. I just see him. I'm in the same vein with Eddie said overrated. I think it was vastly overrated. I think a lot of what he got was because he was Emmanuel Stewart's guy. Emmanuel helped him. Muscles, your thought on Lennox Lewis?
Emmanuel Stewart made him a better fighter. You know, he picked up on all the flaws he had and just. You know, just made him a better fighter. You saw his track record after getting Winnie Manning Stewart, right?
Right.
Fight, and in Lennox Lewis' defense, you know, he beat everybody, even the guys who beat him. So, you know, yes, he's definitely not an all-time great, but he's definitely in the mix there. Maybe in the top 20, but you know, because of the era he was in or whatever, but he was once a dominant heavyweight champion before the Klitschko's came around, and like I said before, he beat everybody, even the guys who beat him. So, you know, you have to respect him regardless of how you guys feel. I think.
Right. Let me do something real quick in case they slice us. Danny, I got a question for you. Sports and Dead Blog Talk Radio and the Crescent Garden Network was saying happy birthday to Imhotep, Gary Bird, the First Lady of Gigi, the great Flo Anthony, they saw it's Gary, and our lovely Muto Bella, and Paula, daughter of our number one lister, Rosie from Volta Redonia. And with that, hold on just because I want to be safe if they slice it. Larry Hardesty going to do this. Anybody move, though? Larry, come on.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding. But I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night. And we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
And what we're going to do, we're going to run into, I don't know why, Sports to Death, mic on, lights off. And with that, Hey, I want to ask you. Bartolo Colon is back with the Mets. Has he become the forgotten guy? I mean, he was the guy that carried that staff the beginning of the last year. He was the guy 2 years ago who was the ace. And he's the one guy whose credentials can validate your thinking that staff is going to be stellar. He's a former Cy Young Award winner. Why does he not get the props that he should get in your estimation, Danny? Or is everything okay in his eyesight and yours from a Latin perspective?
Well, he doesn't get the props because of just his physical, the way he looks. He doesn't look like a ball player. That's one. And you never know what he's bringing to the game. You never know, because now he's a pitcher. He's not a thrower. And if you notice, the pitching staff of the Mets, all those guys, they throw well above 95 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And Bartolo brings in that, you know, he's got to work hard. So he's never going to get the credit. Plus, he doesn't look like a ball player.
Right.
Hey, listen, you know what? Yo, what does that mean? Look at Yogi Berra. 3 times the MVP, the most World Series won, considered by many to be the greatest catcher of all time. Well, no question, one of the top.
Yogi Berra is Italian, man. Don't forget that.
What's that?
Yogi Berra is Italian. Don't forget that. And God knows how many times Bartolo Colon got caught using steroids.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? That validates the fact. You know, Art Russell said that it was the pitchers that brought steroids into baseball. And, you know, there's a validation right there. Sponsored at Blog Talk Radio, Trusting Guard, and their work. If you don't see it, you don't call it. The legendary Eddie Cotton, Double Barrel Harold, one of the greatest fighters of his era, the only African matchmaker in the history of Madison Square Garden, Muscle, a.k.a. the Cisco Kid. He don't kid you. He comes right at you. Danny, all strike style. If you're on top of the plate, he's going to hit you, but he's coming down the middle with heat. Doc Stanley, he has Sports Depth on a Sunday. Cavaliers won a big game today against the Clippers as they continue their move to win the East and get back against the Golden State Warriors. Golden State still looking to break the one-season record of 72-10 by the Chicago Bulls. Kobe Bryant is doing his swan song, and I tell you something, I don't buy that second coming, second so-and-so, but Kobe Bryant is the only guy that he could say in a lot of ways is just so reminiscent of Michael Jeffrey Jordan. And we were talking the other day, me and Nassim Richardson, how he just studied film and how his mannerisms were so. But, I mean, yeah, I think Mike is everybody's out from that particular year. You know, Michael Jordan, six NBA championships, 5 NBA titles. But the thing that I redundantly talk about here is just remarkable to me, as Mike Worker would say, that nobody talks about Jabbar. Here's a guy who won more championships, won as many championships as Jordan, more MVPs than Jordan, is a center, was a great student athlete. They even talk about that. They talk about David Robinson. And there's a lot of question that the snub he gets, and you talked about Barry's attitude, Danny, and you know, that you throw that out the window. I mean, I judge a guy by how he plays, and Ty Cobb is a perfect example of how that's done. If you, as Ollie said, the compression, the connection. Ty Cobb was a devout racist, a known member of the Ku Klux Klan, hated by teammates and foes. Henry Hillman, who batted behind him the year that Ty Cobb stole 96 bases, said he stole 100 every time he got a jump on the ball. I fouled it off. Ty Cobb was the first guy to go to the Hall of Fame. Okay. I mean,
Doc. Let me tell you all about a situation that happened last night in Montreal. If y'all don't know
right.
about it, there was a fight card in Montreal last night. It was supposed to be headlined by David Lemieux. He was supposed to fight some guy at a catchweight. It was middleweight of 163 pounds. Right now.
Yeah.
Lemieux came in at 165 at the weigh-in. I was there. And he couldn't lose 2 pounds. So they offered his opponent twice his purse. And I was told that it was going to be $40,000, but they offered him $80,000. And the guy didn't take the fight. So that fight was off of the card last night. I was there for a IBF. Latino about at 154 pounds with this young kid named Stephen Butler, was 22-0. He fought this guy from Russia who was 19-1, and Butler stopped him in the third round. I think they showed the card on Fox, and part of it was on HBO last night. But there's no excuse for a fighter to come in overweight when he's got to catch.
I know you're cringing, Harold. Yeah, I know you're cringing. I mean, I remember when you got weighed on the same day of the fight. I mean, it's like, you know, and then this is just Eddie and Muscle, right. Danny, this just, and this is what befuddles me. You've got a trainer, which used to be all everybody had, but now you've got a nutritionist, you got a strength coach. You know, you got about four guys. Everybody should get fired.
Everybody should get locked up. Everybody should get locked up. All right, that's the bottom line.
I got a better one for you. Everybody should be banned.
You know, I mean, everybody's walking around with these so-called licenses saying they're trainers and they're this and that, and they're imitating the fraud, and here the people that they're supposed to be taking care of supposed to be losing weight, and they're not losing weight, and that shows you right there that something is incompetent about the whole situation. And
right.
So basically these guys today is like a joke. And it's a sad situation. You know, you're getting ready to take your fighter to the weigh-in from the hotel. You've both been putting him on the scale that morning, and he's 2 or 3 pounds overweight. That don't make no sense. That has no sense made to it at all.
It has no sense for him
even being overweight that morning when he's getting ready to go to the weigh-in. That's how
right.
stupid it is.
It reminds me of Kid Chocolate. Kid Chocolate hadn't fought in a year. He's coming to fight in Brooklyn. He's coming to fight to get his title back, and he's overweight. I mean,
that's what I'm saying, Mel. I mean, that's a disgrace.
That's
a disgrace to the sport. Okay, that's a disgrace to the boxing commissioner. They should have more of fines or more of a ruling for these guys being overweight. Okay, I mean, these guys are now saying, oh, I don't care, I'll be 1 pound, I'll pay the fine. Bullshit. No, you ain't going to pay the fine. You ain't getting paid.
So,
Jen's
point.
Yeah,
you're,
but
politics
won't let that happen. You know that.
But it's not about politics. It's about the sport. That's come to sport is where it's at today. Because you don't have no strict rules. You don't have nobody enforcing anything. And the bottom line, nobody don't know a damn thing. And so you're taking the sport and destroying it. Like I said earlier, you can take boxing, get rid of it, and nobody will miss it.
You're right about
especially with the merger of MMA, which Muscle's also, you talked about this too, Al. Boxing had exposed that Blog Talk Radio on the Customs Guard Network. Happy birthday, Paula, Bella Dulce, Paula, Flo Anthony, the first lady of the G, and Imhotep, Gary Bird, and say hello to Stevie Wonder, who was at Gary's 50th anniversary show tonight on 107.9. You know, I always love. I got a chance by the grace of God, because all great things come. Meet the chief rocker, Frankie Crockett. I remember two of the classic lines Frankie had, where Frankie said, if I'm not on your radio, then your radio ain't on. Frankie said,
right.
if I'm not on your radio, then your radio. And I remembered, you know, what he did. Because Frankie, and Mr. Wonder said something last night, you know, he said, you know, African-Americans or the mother of all races. That's where everything came from. Africa had two gold ages. And I remember that commercial from back of BLS, Stereo and Black. Where you hear Herbie Hancock, Miles Davis, Aretha Franklin, The Temptations, Marvin Gaye, The Rolling Stones, you know, The Temptations, all happening now.
Listen, Doc, just to tell you how great Frankie Crocker was. He went to Florida and incorporated Ricky Ricardo because he wanted to bring some Latin flavor into it. And he was the first one to bring a black DJ, a woman DJ, on prime time on the radio.
You're taking thoughts from my mind. Frankie brought Vi Higginson, okay? And that was the beginning, and she talked about that too. How she gave
and
females Charmaine, opportunity.
I think it was Charmaine was.
Well, but what you said too, which is also a part of that Stereo in Black, where you hear The Temptations, Three Dog Night, Herbie Hancock, Miles Davis, Jimi Hendrix, Celia Cruz, all that. You're right, and it was just you know, Lynwood Maxwell Simon, the astute manager, Bobby Gaynor, told me that if Frankie picked your record as the pick hit of the week, you had a gold record. You're right. Steve Rocker, Frankie Crocker, Emma, Terry Bird, Hal Jackson. Larry Hardesty is the Joe Louis of African-American sportscasters because of the longevity. You know, nobody stayed on the air from a black radio station with the longevity of either. And what he did and what Frankie did, too, it was Larry Hardesty, who is the entrance and outrance of our show, who brought white sportscasters to black radio. He had Mark Kriegel on. You know what I mean? He had Peter Vesey on. You know, he had the contemporaries of the other color, the connection, come on his show. We did great shows down at Mickey Mouse. And it was Larry Hart.
Don't forget, when nobody gave, when WABC got rid of Arrows Jr., the only guy that gave him a job was Frankie Crocker, BLS, doing the sports.
Yeah, yeah. Well, ironically, Art had started out what they call the community stations. I remember they told me that it was amazing. I remember talking to, I forgot the guy, I used to call him the Fat Man Sack, and he said that Art Russ couldn't handle the format at FAN. Art Russ was the goddamn format. It was Art Russ who started Sports Talk Radio. You know, he killed me. He couldn't handle the format. Art Russ was the format. It was Art Russ that brought Sports Talk Radio into being. It was Art Russ who had the number one radio show on ABC Radio. Not the number one sports show, which he had. The number one radio show on ABC Radio. Art Russ Jr. He's the guy he's the only guy Joe DiMaggio would talk to on Old Timers Day. And I know because I was there, and he introduced me to Mr. DiMaggio, and we became friends. The only guy that Joe DiMaggio would, and I always say, Mr. DiMaggio, Art Russ said Taylor, he said, "Is Arthur here? Just to call me the dude, like the way I dress." The only guy that would Joe DiMaggio would talk to. I remember introduced me to Mr. DiMaggio, and Mr. DiMaggio stopped and told me, "It was nice to meet you, Barry Helper." I had missed Mr. DiMaggio on the Old Timers Day and asked him, "Would he have Mr. DiMaggio sign something for me?" I saw Barry 2 weeks later, and Barry told me, "Doc, your picture was the only thing Joe DiMaggio would sign." But, you talk about great names. Art Russ Jr., Hal Jackson, the Jackie Robinson of radio, who was driven home as a bat boy one day by Babe Ruth, the Chief Rocker, Frankie Crocker, M. Hotep Gary Bird, started on radio at 15 years old, Larry Hardesty, the Joe Louis of African-American sportscast. It's just, all here out of New York City.
And don't forget Vaughn Harper.
Hey, you know what? You're right. Vaughn Harper from the high, boys high school, with my cousin Ricky Free, All-American. Boy, it was every time you hear Quiet Storm, it was Vaughn Harper that started. And I remember the night that Vaughn had a heart attack because they were playing a record, and the record kept playing. And, Vaughn got him to the hospital, and he, recovered. But you're right, Danny. It was Vaughn Harper that started the whole late night smooth radio thing. Everybody you hear is imitating and copying Vaughn Harper. And I thought about something too, because we're going to do a piece. I'd like to have you with us, Danny, and also the other guys. You want to join us? A piece on the. I'm doing something on baseball. Still the uncharted waters, the unconquered frontier for blacks and Hispanics. And Jumpside Jonesy made us aware during the course of the last year that baseball, 40 years later, had the exact same amount of managers as they had 40 years ago. But that damn sure ain't progress. One, where are the jobs for minorities? And that great line I read, when Latins and blacks retire from sports, they're just ex-baseball players. But white guys get jobs. They're sportscasters, they're coaches, they're managers. I've always been stunned by a guy who gets fired in Chicago and hired in Cincinnati, fired in Kansas City and hired in Detroit, fired in Toronto and hired in New York. But as Ali says, the complexion of the connected. And it just sat in touch, so we're going to touch on that. Sports and the Blog Talk Radio and the Trust and Guardian Network, they're all here. The people who at one time I thought were the best, and I've learned by the grace of God, they are the absolute best. Eddie, if you don't see it, you don't call it cotton. Double Barrel Harold Weston Jr. Let me tell you this. These guys don't get into the Boxing Hall of Fame. The Boxing Hall of Fame is perpetrating fraud, okay, along with Marion Brooks, perpetrating a fraud. Eddie, don't see it, don't call it cotton, a legendary referee, okay? And we have, by the grace of God, through Eddie, the bow tie he wore at the Tyson Lance Lewis fight. Harold Weston was there to say, the first and only Admiral Massacre in the history of Madison Square Garden. When he left, the lights went out. The lights go. They tore the building down, basically. One the only MAP. one of the only MSG welterweight champions. Well, the first guy to beat Hedman Lewis. Ron O'Neill told Hedman, I ain't never seen anybody kick your ass like that. I know how you said it differently. I'm going to tell how you said it. I ain't never seen anybody kick your ass like that. Okay. What can you say about muscle? A connoisseur, expert in both the sweet science and MMA, and we're getting tired of the sweet science. Danny Styles, a man who played at the high level, minor leagues and some maybe baseball playing himself. So these good people, when they're talking about the game, they played the game, they know the game, and they know the people in the game. And we once again say happy birthday, Imhotep, Gary Bird, Flo Anthony, and
Darryl
Paula
Strawberry's birthday is today. You know that, Doc, right?
Who's that?
Darryl Strawberry.
Okay, well, we got to say Darryl Strawberry, who won, won Rookie of the Year. And the next year, Doc Goodwin, they said at one time that Darryl Strawberry was going to be the Black Ted Williams. I thought Darryl got jerked the year that they gave the MVP to Kirk Gibson. And I just put them, you know, these guys vote how they want to vote. You know, if you're not the competitive connection, don't work. Darryl led the league in home runs, led the Mets in RBIs, and the Mets were the best team in baseball, and yet MVP with the Kirk. And, but, you know, it's amazing how – it's not amazing. I remember the Pittsburgh sports writers in 1960 were telling the visiting team sports writers not to vote for Roberto Clemente. I mean, the Pittsburgh sports writers were telling the other sports writers not to vote for Roberto Clemente. And Dick Groat won the MVP. You know, but you know, well, these things happen. These things, I mean, for my money, greatest writer to ever live, Roberto Clemente. Greatest writer. My all-time outfield used to be Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, Roberto Clemente. Mays and Clemente stay there. Left field, Barry Bonds. You know, the number that Barry Bonds had, but, you know, if I got to be stuck with Hank, I'll be stuck. Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust of God Network. Harold, how do you see Pacquiao Bradley? I know you don't want to see it, but how do you see that fight? Who wins that fight and what?
I mean, it's just going to be those same rerun that you had before. I think Pacquiao's going to win the fight. I mean, but it's nothing. I mean, my whole thing is, like I'm going to say again, it has no purpose whatsoever be made, because where you going? What are those guys accomplishing fighting each other? I mean, what's the next step? And who cares? You know?
Right.
I mean, who cares? Whoever wins, who cares? I mean, it's just a repeat. This is not Ali and Joe Frazier. You know, just saying, I mean, it's not that kind of fight. It's not that kind of mega fight that you're going to put yourself out and say, man, I'm going to stay up and I'm going to save my money and I'm going to buy me some tickets to go see this fight. Because, boy, these two guys, boy, they the greatest of all of them. Please, give me a break. And Manny Pacquiao, he's going to retire. And he wants to retire, come back, retire, come back, come retire. I mean, come on now. I mean, it's like a joke. But, I mean, you know, he's got a following in the Philippines. So, I mean, you know, that's what he's got going for him. But I think one thing about both of them, I mean, it's like a joke. I mean, it's not even something to hold your breath for, to tell you the truth.
So, in the words of somebody that I know quite well, a longtime dear friend, sad and touching. Muscles, your thoughts, Bradley Pacquiao. Been there, done that?
You know, the point is, this is what boxing has turned into. We get fights we don't want to see. That's pretty much it. And Pacquiao, Floyd started that, right? You know, you had Floyd Berto recently. Nobody wanted to see that.
You know,
you got Pacquiao now fighting Timothy Bradley. Nobody wants to see that. And we're going to continue getting fights that we don't want to see. That's why the sport is diminishing in its popularity. And, you know, I got one more thing to touch on, you know. I mean, back in the days, we had 8 weight classes, right? That means we had a champion in every division. That makes 8 world champions, right? Today we have 17 weight classes, right? So multiply that by 4, right? You have 68 world champions today, dude. Forget about it, man.
Right.
Forget about it. You can't even name half of those. You can't even name 30 world champions. So, you know what I mean? So forget about it, man. We're talking about a sport that's more diluted than water. You understand
Right, yeah. you definitely hit that right on the nose.
Eddie Cotton, do I hear you? Do I hear you? Look, Doc, look, you got two
great guys there that know boxing, been around boxing, and I agree with them 100%. And I think that Pacquiao probably is going to win. And then after that, then who's he going to fight next? Who's
Marquez.
Gonna fight?
Marquez.
You know, I'm going to say this much. We don't know what Pacquiao. You know, remember Pacquiao. You know, is talking about he had a bum shoulder against Floyd Mayweather. Suppose he got surgery. We don't know how he's going to come back from that injury. I know there's a lot of hype behind Teddy Atlas and Timothy Bradley. You know, he's making him a different fighter. He fought a dead man in Brandon Rios, of course. But
I hate to put this out there, fellas. Teddy has only made one world champion, okay? And that was by a fluke, okay? And you got him on his pedestal like he's great, like Angelo Dundee, Gil Clancy, Customato. He's not them kind of people.
Louis Fisher.
Right. So I don't know why everybody got Teddy Atlas because he's Teddy Atlas trainer. So what? Teddy couldn't fight his way out of a damn paper bag.
Harold, who was the champion he had?
He had the heavyweight champion that beat
Michael Moore.
That was it.
But he was also Harold.
He had the heavyweight champion that George Foreman knocked out.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Do I need to say anymore?
Nothing to say. Case closed. Case closed.
Yeah, but you know what's funny about that fight? That Teddy called it right before Michael Moore got knocked out. He told him to watch out for George Foreman's right hand.
Right.
He went into it, and he got knocked out by the same punch.
You learned the hard way. Danny, you're listening here. Your thoughts, too, that there's talk, and gentlemen, I hope you're sitting down, but if I'm correct, I think Margarito returned to the ring last night and is going to come back sometime this month. Danny, you watch a little boxing. You surprised?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Margarito coming back?
He's good for he's good for boxing, but he beat –
No, he's not.
Twice. And he got knocked out twice, and he won. He's good for boxing, you know. Hey,
this is terrible for boxing. I mean, the guy looks like he has a glass eye. Come on.
I think, you know what? The thing with Margarito is, and I said this.
He's a bum. He's done.
The guy's got destroyed by
Pacquiao.
We need a villain in boxing.
We need real fights, man. That's what we need. We need real fights, real trainers, real matchmakers. We need. That's what we need, man. We're not this crap
that we're getting today, man.
Right. You know
Come
what?
On,
man.
You
know what?
You understand?
I tell you what, gentlemen, if that's the case, turn off the lights, the party's over. Okay?
Right.
If that's the case. And Lady A, she said, Doc, you know, I'm done with boxing right now. What you just said, gentlemen, okay, turn off the lights, the party's over. There aren't no real fighters. And listen, man, how real can this be? When a dude comes, I mean, you're a fighter. How do you not make, there's got to be some pride. How do you not make weight? How do you not make weight?
Well,
and then how do you see a trainer and have the audacity to bring your fighter and they say he didn't make the weight?
And they don't care if they don't make the weight. That's the sad part about the whole thing.
I don't even know why fighters are not even making weight today because you have increment weight classes. You have, you know, junior this and super that. I don't understand how fighters are just not making weight. You're just fucking retarded.
You're so right.
Hey, Harold. Muscle, Eddie, you know, you say, whoa, I weigh 165. You know what? Okay, so instead of me fighting for the middleweight, can I fight for the super middleweight title tonight?
Right.
I weigh that. Because the guy that probably is going to win, he don't weigh it, so I'll fight the guy that did make it, and everybody's you know, it's funny.
You know what the problem also is that these guys are all looking for leverage. You understand what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
Back in the day,
wow.
when let's say, when a guy moved up in weight, he could be 20 pounds lighter. I mean, Billy Kahn, Joe Lewis, Stanley Ketchum, Jack Johnson. You know what I mean? These guys were 20 pounds smaller than the guys they were fighting. You know what I mean?
And
when Ray Robinson moved up and challenged Joey Maximus, he was 15 pounds lighter than him. The light heavyweight champ.
Right.
I mean, come on. You got to be kidding. But these guys don't want to move up and fight nobody, and they want to talk. They all want leverage. That's the problem. That's what boxing's all about.
And you know what's so sad about it? It's the fighters that's looking for the leverage. That's what's so crazy. That's
exactly,
so sad about it.
Exactly. They come in 20 pounds heavier than the guy they're fighting. You know, it's ridiculous, man. You might as well. You know what? Just give the guy a bat. Just call it the day, man.
Yeah. And Mark Wynn was talking about the other day how he said, you know, when I sparred, you know, I'm a welterweight. I'm fighting heavyweights. I'm fighting junior lightweights. He said, you know, I'm fighting whoever they put before me. You know, Eddie, what I need from you too, Eddie, because I need you to email me a photo of yourself so I have it at the collage. Most of them, I have you. Danny, I already have you. And I already have you, Harold. But I need a shout out to you, Eddie. Sports and that Black Talk Radio on Trust the Guard. There were Sunday sports shorts. Cleveland Cavaliers won against the Clippers today. The final of the NCAA championship will be announced. The 64 teams got a chance to see Steve Strayville today as he went over and over. Villanova got bumped. The Knicks will be playing. They should be playing about now. I think Kobe Bryant's last game against them. And we also have, we don't know what's going to happen. RG3 was at the Jet camp the other day. We'll see what happens with that. JPP re-signed with the Giants, who was kind of a no-brainer. At the same time, Fitzpatrick is having some problems. I don't know why this guy is all of a sudden think he's Joe Namath. The Broncos were shocked, though. Their number two quarterback, who was number one for a while, but felt smarter because when they made a number two, and Peyton Manning came back, he said, you know what? Sayonara. Peyton's retiring. I'm leaving. He's gone. So Denver now is either of a quarterback. Kaepernick team being forced in the mix. He's coming here to New York. He's going to Denver.
Hey,
and we'll see. You're right,
Doc. How could they pay that guy $74 million? How could they pay him that? With a $37 million signing bonus. He played seven games.
Who was that?
That was quarterback's name is.
Yes.
The Texans paid him $70-something million.
And they gave him half of that was guaranteed. You know what? I understand why he left. The thing that everybody will ask, why did Anthony stay in New York? That's where he's going to get the most money. Pick up the money.
Doc, we understand why he left, but how could the Texans pay that kind of money?
You know what? It goes back to that same old thing. You know, what they will pay a person not of color is remarkable.
Think about this. I mean, look how much money Floyd Mayweather fucking made fighting Pacquiao. I mean, that's ridiculous. 150 mil or 200 mil is ridiculous for a fight that. Man, I'd rather watch Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to announce. I'm going to get up in the morning and do some running. I'm going to make me a comeback because this is getting
ridiculous. I told you 10 years ago, but you didn't hear me. I told you 10 years ago. you didn't hear me. I 10 years ago, I told you, go get your trunks up.
Right.
Listen, you got to train in muscles. Okay, you got
a
supervisor, and a manager in me.
Saul Mambi was fighting at 64, so he was still fighting. So, come on. I mean, you can still come back, man.
Yeah, I'm saying. I mean, cause it, and they ain't got to worry about getting hurt because these guys can't fight or punch, so you know I'm okay.
Hey, Harold, I'll see you, baby. Harold,
right,
don't
man.
Touch that Social Security check, baby. Hey, don't put him in Social Security this year. We got you, Harold. Don't put him in Social Security this year. We got you.
All right, y'all take care.
All right. All right. Okay, Harold Weston. We're getting ready to close up here. Harold Weston, join us talking about boxing. Errol Spence next month at the Barclays Center against none other than Chris Algieri, former world champion. And we also got Manny Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley going at it again. And Triple G, the man everybody said they will fight but won't. They do want to fight, but they don't. He's going against Wade, and we'll see how that soap opera
continues.
Come on,
now. And even with that, man. Who wants to see that fight?
Exactly.
They fall
against
this guy named Wade.
And Triple G's defense, and is what Abel Sanchez, your good friend and our good friend Abel said. I said, Abel, you know, what do you do to keep him going when these guys keep saying they're going to fight him and they don't fight. And Abel said, well, look, you know, we're looking at Bernard Hopkins' all-time defense record. So, okay, so we don't fight this guy. We'll fight that guy. It's another W, and it's another notch toward that belt.
Whoa,
so, you know, we stay sharp. You know, we're getting paid, and we're moving toward the all-time record. Then these guys eventually come along. And you're right. I mean, in Triple G's defense, Alvarez doesn't want to fight him. Cotto wouldn't fight him. He's not going to go up to fight Wade. So, I mean, it's the only thing out there for him. I mean, it's better than training. It's better than training. You get paid. It's another W. And then we don't know. Maybe, it's, hey, you know, you never know. Tommy Morris against Michael Benn. Boom. Frazier against Foreman. Boom. You know, like I said, those three guys were unbeatable. The first Ali, he ran at 135, and he shook away at 135. You never know. Okay, he should win the fight. But in his defense, you know, all the guys that's supposed to fight him won't fight him. So, you know, you fight this guy, you stay sharp, you make some money, and you add to the record. But, I mean, in his defense, we can say, hey, it's the fight he had to take. Alvarez is still talking about some kind of way, you know, he doesn't want to fight at 160. Cotto was the middleweight champion of the world and never fought at 160. You know, so, I mean, in Triple G's defense, I mean, he had no choice. He had no choice, unless he's waiting on Harold Weston. So even then, he's got to take a fight before Harold comes back. So, in his case, he has no choice. It's simple.
It's what we're left is. You know, we all salivating, you know, waiting for that fight to happen, you know, Canelo and Triple G. And we're probably not even going to get that fight this year because, you know, he's going to probably, of course, you know, beat Khan, and then he's going to probably move on and to bigger, you know, to whatever other fight they can make. Whatever mismatch they can give us, you know. And Triple G has no choice but to continue fighting. That's pretty much it. I mean, you know, we don't want to see him against Wade, you know, but, you know, Canelo won't move up. And then he says, oh, I'm planning to move back to 54. The guy can't even make 54. I mean, he's like a man on no man's land. The guy doesn't move, you know, he's too small he's too big for 54 because he can't even make the weight, but doesn't want to move up to 60 because he's afraid those guys are bigger, stronger, and he stands a chance of losing. That's pretty much it. So, you know, they're trying to keep their horse, you know, their race
horse. The cash cow. I mean, it's sad and touching. Danny, your thoughts on this? I mean, Marion Borges said the true measure of a great fighter is what he does after his old goes and what he does once he gets knocked down. And the fight that when Joe Lewis fought Jim Braddock for the title, Braddock knocked him down. First round, knocked him down. Joe got up and knocked Braddock out. Ray Robinson, split decision against Tommy Bell. Tommy Bell knocked Ray down face first. Ray got up on a split decision. Ali, knocked down by Joe, got up, beat Joe two out of three times after that. Ray Leonard, knock down a Donnie Lon fight, gets a early, but I'm sorry.
Yep.
These guys can't be measured in the same breath for those guys, so forgive me. Somewhere along I'm in error to do that. At the same time, you know, we can't be surprised at not only the lack of talent by today's fighters, but also by the lack of guts, heart, and class, you know. It's just that's what it's all about. It's just sad and touching. You know, these guys, they're fighters, but they can't fight, and they won't fight. And Don King says it's only in America. Danny, getting back to baseball, we're looking. Everybody's talking about the National League and the Mets and the Nationals. Let's go American League wise. What can the Yankees do?
Got to go, fellas. Okay. I just got back from Montreal. I'm sorry.
All right.
Dave,
okay.
I just got back home. So. All right.
Okay.
We'll talk to you later.
Right. Okay, we'll close in a while. Danny, real quickly, then we'll all close. What do the Yankees do this year?
I think the Yankees are going to surprise a lot of people. They got a great infield with Didi and Castro. And I think, you know, the pitching staff, if it holds up, we're looking at the Yankees being in the playoffs again.
Mm-hmm. Did you? I thought Prince Fielder was not the comeback player of the year. I thought the comeback player of the year was A-Rod last year. I think some of the New York sentiment.
He wasn't hurt. He was suspended. He wasn't hurt.
Sure, but Danny, you're being technical. Now you know you, but that's you. We're not talking about hurry. We're talking about comeback. Comeback means coming back to the game, not coming back with injury list, not coming back for suspension. It's coming back to the game, and he came back to the game. 30 home runs, without question. There was two screws in baseball. He should have been come back to the player. Collins should have been manager of the year. I mean, you can't tell me Collins was the manager of the year, and you can't tell me that he wasn't comeback player of the year. And I think, and we talk about there's always some anti-New York sentiment in anything I did. I remember when we had Jason Kidd here. Jason Kidd was MVP. They didn't give it to him, and there was writers telling me, "Well, you know, he doesn't have to play." The guy, the Nets were expected to go no place. They gave it to the guy from the Spurs. The Spurs were expected to win. So I mean, you. You're kind of hard on A-Rod. You know, you got an anti-A-Rod sentiment from a Latin perspective. But, you know, fair is fair, two is four. Alex Rodriguez was comeback player of the year, and the guy over in Flushing was the manager of the year. And those guys, they got screwed, in my opinion. Sports at Block Talk Radio on the Crossing Guard Red Network. We got the Eric Spence fight coming next month. We've got Bradley and Pacquiao again, and we've got Wade against Triple G. I know you know who Wade is, but that's three fights coming, and then we're looking for Canelo to come in May. And with that, Marvin Gaye will take us away. Sports at Block Talk Radio, Trust and Guard Radio Network. And, gentlemen, hold on. Let Gaye have his say, and we'll be right back in just a minute.
A question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life. Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.